Well, thank you again this morning. It's good to see you all today as we continue on in our spring sermon series entitled Wisdom in an Age of AI. I truly hope that this spring sermon series has been interesting to you, but not only interesting, but also has been encouraging you and also been inspiring you as well as we lean into this new age of AI reality, but also really not so much talking so much about the influence and impact of AI, but just the realization that we probably need a lot more wisdom in this day and age. And also, this is also continuing on in our discipleship of becoming, the discipleship theme of becoming, and what that means to become more like Christ as we seek to build one another up as one of our rally points here, or our core values of Killarney Park. Well, previously, we leaned into the wisdom of Proverbs 13, verse 3, which reads, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." That wisdom of that proverb was in how we use our words and speak truth to one another in love. And this proverb counteracts the outrage culture that we find ourselves in, which is described as immediate and disproportionate responses to perceived injustices or offenses. What we find is that with the reality of AI encroaching into our lives, these algorithms that are used by these computational models amplify controversial content in our social media spaces, which spill over into our physical spaces driven by strong emotional responses. Well, this morning's passage really carries on with this theme, and one of the emotions that's obviously strongest in our outrage culture is the emotion of anger. And so we find in our Proverbs verse today, in Proverbs 16:32, a call to patience and to self-control, as Monica read for us this morning. "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." I am very grateful to say that I'm really glad that at Killarney Park we don't really have a lot of angry people. Yay, Killarney! Woohoo! Nor do we really have a lot of conflict, and that's really good to know and really appreciate. So it may feel a little bit out of place to be talking about, well, why is anger? Why are we talking about anger? Because it's a reality that we face in our world today. And what is our Christian response to all the anger that we're seeing in our world today? Now, before we get to that, I think we first want to admit that I think we all have trouble, perhaps from time to time, now and then, to cool our tempers, whether we're hot-headed or perhaps we're an upfront kind of person or even a quiet introvert. And so another verse, actually, that also speaks to about anger as well and not allowing anger to get to the best of us is in Proverbs 15, verse 18. "A hot-tempered man or a hot-tempered person stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." What's really interesting, actually, is that if you look at the book of Proverbs, there are quite a number of verses that speak to this theme of anger, this emotion of anger. We see this in Proverbs 15:1, Proverbs 19:11, Proverbs 22:24, and Proverbs 29:11. I think, as you all recall, the book of Proverbs was Solomon's writing down of all his wisdom in order to pass on to his children. It's written as wisdom passed on from a father to his son, particularly in how they govern well, but also in how to have relationships well. And so then it leads me to ask the question, you know, why are there so many verses in Proverbs that addresses this theme of anger? Well, I think for starters, the fact that there are so many verses that speak to this tells me about the importance of this emotion and its reality in our human experience. The other question that comes to me were the Israelites just like really angry people? I don't think so. I think it's something we all share. We all have this common emotion. However, if we were to look at our world today and we consider the society as well, I think we sometimes think that perhaps is our society getting angrier as time progresses. So there is a report that's done by Gallup called the Gallup Global Emotions Report. And it's something that is done every year. And the last data they have is from 2023. And according to this Global Emotions Report, it is not actually our imagination that the world is indeed angrier. As stated in the report, negative emotions were at the highest levels in 2023. And anger remains nearly at an all-time high worldwide. And interestingly enough, they use these markers, or these are some of the examples of the increase in worldwide anger. They've noticed that there are more reports by the Federal Air Authority, the FAA, in an increase in air rage. Have you guys heard about that? Apparently, more and more people are actually having rages when they're in airplanes, which I can understand. I mean, you know, it's a tight little tube, and there's a lot of people in there. And so, but yeah, apparently there has been an increase in air rage. And then also, there's been an increase in road rage incidents as well. So these are kind of the markers they use. So then they also list, well, what are the reasons for the rise of this emotion? Why are we becoming more and more angry with each passing year? Well, some of the reasons I think are quite obvious. Number one, we're very tired. Apparently, we're not getting enough sleep. So we do really, it's true, we really do need, you know, 7.5 to 8 hours a night of sleep. And so we're not getting enough sleep. And so as a result, that's not helping our ability to control or manage this emotion well. So if you find yourself being angry, maybe you just need a little bit more sleep. I think our parents kind of figured that out early on when we were younger. We're overwhelmed. One of the statements that is made in this report is the fact that on average, and honestly, I don't get this many, but and please don't start sending these many emails, but apparently on average, each person receives 121 emails a day. I do not receive 121 emails a day, and please don't start sending me 121 emails a day. But apparently, that's what it is. And I was like, how is that even possible that you get 121 emails a day? So I was like, maybe what they mean is that there's 101 messages a day, you know, that come in the forms of email, they come in the form of our text messages, WhatsApp messages, Facebook, you know, all of that. But the fact is that our brains are so basically overwhelmed with all of this constant communication that's coming to us at all times of the day. There's no boundary setting, and so as a result, we are overwhelmed. This one makes total sense. We are afraid. Fear is definitely another emotion as well, and there's a fear of crime, increased crime. It feels like at any one moment, crime can happen, an attack can happen at any time, and so we're living in a very fearful society. Loss is also another fear, a fear of loss. And obviously, we can be talking about loss of a loved one, loss of a relationship, but also can be talking about loss of opportunity as well. And so as things progress in our society, there's a continual gap, and that's in perhaps our finances, which is another reason why anger is also on the rise. With the loss of opportunity, we are also broke. We're becoming more and more, we're under more and more financial stress to be able to continue on in our life, basically, because the gap between the rich and the poor is growing immensely year over year. Another reason that we could be angry is because we're hot. Yes, I'm hot. You're hot. We're all good. Okay, I don't mean it that way. I mean the fact that the weather is hot. So apparently, with the weather change that we have, with the temperatures that are increasing every year, that is also causing us to be irritable, and as a result, we're also getting hot as the weather is getting hot. And then lastly, we're in pain. Pain can refer to chronic pain. There is also an increase in people having more and more chronic pain. This is pain that just won't go away, that is caused by some sort of physical ailment that just cannot be diagnosed. And so a lot of people struggle with lifelong chronic pain, and then also emotional pain as well. Well, these are legitimate reasons, and they can lead to disruptive and aggressive behaviors, which I think is the point of this passage in Proverbs. Anger is a legitimate reason, is a legitimate emotion. It is something that's in us that causes us to be able to flee or to fight. However, when it's not managed well, can be abusive and destructive to relationships. And moreover, for us as God's people, as witnesses of Christ's resurrection and his glory, it can lead to this phenomenon that's happening where there's the question that's being asked in various articles and web blogs on the internet are this question of, why are Christians so angry? This is an image that is pervasive right now in our society. And in fact, really, it goes so far as even more precisely, it's a question of why are evangelical Christians so angry? It's interesting, prior to Shari and I coming to Killarney Park, we were actually part of the Evangelical Free Church of Canada for a couple of years with Fort Langley Evangelical Free Church. And while we were there, as we were preparing to come to Killarney Park, they actually put forward a motion to actually change the name of the church, because it actually says in the title of the church, Fort Langley Evangelical Free Church. And the issue was the word evangelical. It had become so synonymous with this anger vibe, and this perception that all Christians are angry all the time, that if the leadership there decided that it was time to actually remove the word evangelical free from the title of the church, and so they ended up changing it to Fort Langley Community Church instead. So that's the reality of what we're finding in our world today. Well, I think a passage, and this, to understand this passage better, and I really appreciate the different translations that we have, and I find that the New Living Translation actually helps us, I think, a little better in understanding this text rather than the English Standard Version, which we've been reading up from. As you can see in the New Living Translation, which is the next slide over, it says, "Better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city." Here, we're taught the power of self-control and the virtue of patience in a world that often glorifies aggression and conquest. Don't need to remind you of the various wars that are happening right now that do portray these acts of aggression and conquest. And this verse reminds us of the true strength found in restraint and discipline. I think, first of all, we need to understand the context of this verse. In ancient Near Eastern culture, and particularly at the time of Solomon, warriors were esteemed for their ability to conquer cities and enemies. They were seen as symbols of power and might. However, the writer of Proverbs challenges this notion by suggesting, actually, true strength lies not in outward displays of force, but in inner mastery. The comparison drawn here is striking. A patient person is deemed better than a warrior. This isn't to diminish the bravery or importance of warriors, but rather to elevate the virtue of patience. Patience requires a different kind of courage, the courage to withstand adversity without resorting to impulsive actions or aggressions. Moreover, this verse tells us that one with self-control is better than one who takes a city. Self-control is often overlooked in a culture that prizes instant gratification, is a cornerstone of wisdom and character. It is the ability to govern our impulses, to challenge our emotions, and to make decisions with clarity and purpose rather than just reacting. And I think that's what's happening in our world today, that with this rise in anger, it's a lot of reacting without actually taking time to consider what are these things, what is causing us to have these impulses, what is making us act this way. Think about it for a second. It takes immense strength to control oneself in the face of provocation or temptation. But it is very easy to lash out in anger or to give in to our desires. But it's much harder to exercise restraint and choose the path of moderation. So why does Proverbs, or the writer of Proverbs, extol the virtues of patience and self-control? It's because they lead to lasting peace and harmony. Impulsiveness and aggression may yield temporary victories, but they often result in long-term consequences, broken relationships, missed opportunities, and inner turmoil. Again, you can read through 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and you can see where, unfortunately, the advice of Solomon actually fell on deaf ears. And you can see for sure how this impulsiveness of aggression that indeed, while they yielded temporary victories, often resulted in long-term broken relationships and inner turmoil. In contrast, patience and self-control pave the way for harmony and success. It enables us to build strong relationships based on trust and respect. They empower us to overcome obstacles with resilience and grace. And they allow us to pursue our goals with clarity and determination without being swayed by every passing whim, or distraction. At this point, someone will probably say, but what about the anger of God? Isn't God an angry God? Because it seems to be that way in the Old Testament, that he's always being angry, he's always being wrathful, he's always destroying things. And then we have the New Testament, and we have Jesus, who doesn't seem to be a very angry person. Well, I think before we address this question about the anger of God, we need to do a little bit of a word study in Hebrew for the words for anger. And there are two words. One is anep, and the other one is ka'as. And these are the words that are often used in the Old Testament to describe anger. So the first one, anap, describes a strong emotion. It's actually more like frustration, particularly in reference to, of all things, your nose. And basically, it says that this word describes what happens when you get angry or frustrated and your nose flares up. Have you ever noticed that? I never really thought about it. I thought, oh yeah, that's kind of true. That when we do get frustrated, when we do get angry, that our noses flare up. And there's even a reference in the commentary to the snort of a camel. That's what it actually also references to, that when camels in the desert are frustrated, that they snort through the nose. So that's really where the reference is for the word anaf. Ka'as, however, is different. It refers to mean bitterness, vengefulness, hatred, or vindictiveness. So, to help us to differentiate these two words, I want to just invite you to put yourself in this situation, because I know I have been in this situation. You're driving along on Fraser Highway, in my case, or Lougheed Highway. You're coming out of the local Costco, and Mary, I love Costco, but wow, they have really bad traffic. I'll just leave it there. Bad traffic. And somebody will beat their horn at you. What is your response? Is it a nap? Feeling bad that you might have inadvertently offended somebody? Or is it ka'as, when you beat your horn back in return and say, I have a horn too, buddy, and I know how to use it. Now, I drive a Leaf, and sometimes, and I love my Nissan Leaf, but I do actually say sometimes, I wish my horn sounded more like one of those trucker horns, you know? You know, the mean horn, not a beep, beep. Anyway, I should get an upgrade, right? Like Clarence, let's go upgrade our horns. Yeah, no. So the main difference in these two words is that anaf does not express animosity or malice towards the object of one's anger, while ka'as does do that. It does express malice and animosity towards the object of our anger. In our Bible, in our scriptures, the word ka'as is not used to describe God's anger, but rather anaf. And this is truly good news. And I really hope that if you do meet somebody and they say to you all the time, or they say to you that, you know, you have an angry God, or why are you guys angry all the time, that you're able to communicate to them that the anger that's being described is not one of ka'as, it's not animosity, it's not hatred, it's not malice filled with the desire to bring harm. It is actually anaf, an emotion to express a broken heart, a grief, or sorrow over the loss of intimacy. And I think that is the best news today. That the God that we serve, the God that we love, and the God who loves us, and who is expressed as having anger, is not this malice, destructive animosity towards his creation, but rather it's an anger, it's a frustration, it's a grief of not having connection and relationship with his creation. And so I think it's important to be clear on this difference, because as already mentioned, the perception of Christians and the Christian witness is that we're viewed as angry and mean. My final parting point here is this: if Christians are to be angry, and this is where we talk about Jesus' anger, if we're going to be angry about anything, well then let's be angry about what angered Jesus. This is what angered Jesus: hardness of heart, selfish ambition, spiritual arrogance, self-centeredness, hypocrisy, and fake religiosity. This list comes to us from an article that was published in Outreach magazine. 5 things that angered Jesus, and why Christians need to stop being so angry. So I invite you to look that up online. And the author actually quotes M.R. Dehan. And if you don't know that name, you actually probably know his ministry. And his ministry is actually Our Daily Bread Ministries. And so we actually have Our Daily Bread devotionals, and he was the founder of this ministry. And he had a wise word for us then, back in the 60s, as he has today, when we talk about anger and how Christians are to respond to our society when we're perceived as angry and mean. We need not all agree, but if we disagree, let us not be disagreeable in our disagreements. He goes on to write, "What a concept. Rather than have disdain, contempt, and scorn for others, let's do our best, especially with our brothers and sisters, to live in humility, harmony, and peace." And of course, this references 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you." And I think definitely for us as Kalani Park MB Church, that we're part of the Anabaptist movement that has been identified as peace churches, that's our calling, that is our vision and our mission as part of the Anabaptist movement, is to be peacemakers. That is central to who we are in our identity as evangelical, Protestant, Mennonite brethren. And so as we conclude this day, or this time, I invite you to reflect on these questions. Are you experiencing feelings of anger? What is causing you to feel angry? Have you talked to God about it? Because, you know, God has big, broad shoulders, and he welcomes you to come and speak to him and share how your feelings are, especially if you are feeling angry. And how do we help one another when we are angry? Will you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you for this morning, for this time that we, as your body here at 49th and Kerr, may we, Lord, be a community of faith, a community of believers that seek to become more like your Son Jesus. And into this theme today of anger, may we, Lord, forgive us, Lord, for times that we have either expressed anger in a hurtful way to one another or to even others in our community. But Lord, we also do pray that may we not have this perception thrust upon us that we are angry Christians all the time. And that is in fact not true. Father God, may you help us, Lord, to be peacemakers in this time, this environment of anger that persists in our society. There are many people in our homes around us that have these feelings of anger and emotion. Lord, there's much to be angry about in this world. So we do ask, Lord, that you help us to be a community that brings peace, that seeks to not just be about peacekeeping, but is about peacemaking, to engage our society and the places in our neighborhoods, in our communities, where there are issues that need to be addressed, and may we be able to speak life and truth and good news. And we even pray, Lord, for those who have perceptions that you are an angry God, that you just hate everyone, that you hate creation, which in fact you don't. That, Lord, that the anger that is expressed in the Old Testament is really an anger about the loss of relationship that has happened because sin entered this world. So, Lord, we pray that you restore us, that, Lord, that you will help us to grow in patience and self-control, which are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we do invite your Holy Spirit to empower us in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.